often when I'm teaching, a line kind of rises up into my head. And it's often a thing that wants to be talked about. What arose early in the class today, and nothing else has come to replace it, is essentially that nothing works. We all have a very strong investment in finding the thing that works, whatever that may be. And the deepest teaching seems to me, or one of the deepest teachings, that if you find the thing that works, you haven't found anything. Because there's no thing there. There's nothing that gets you there. And we all have these fantasy ideas of where there is, where we're going to get to when we know something that works, like the double breath, like the mantra, like the doing good deeds, sitting every morning in meditation. It ultimately doesn't work. It may work in the moment. It may work in that it brings you a sense of comfort or peace or stability or equilibrium. And then you go, ah, that worked. And what it really means is you're comfortable. You're in a state of non-struggle. But it's basically you in relation to it. So here's this chaotic world, and suddenly you have found a tiny little piece of stability. And you feel, ah, it worked. Until it doesn't. And there really does come a moment where you try it again and it doesn't work. And then you go, well, what works? What works? Many people on the spiritual path try a lot of things, searching for the one thing, the one guru, the one teacher who has it all, who will tell you the one thing you need to hear that will go, ah, now I know. But you will never find it. You will never find that person. You will never find that teaching. Because it doesn't exist, really. You will have found something that makes you feel safe. And ultimately, feeling safe is an illusion. Because you cannot be safe. You cannot be safe. You are impermanent, temporary, changeable, and ultimately inconsequential on some level. Your life is like that. So as long as you are looking for something that works, you won't find it, because the thing that works ultimately maintains the illusion that you are separate from what is. That somehow there is something that can permanently keep you in this finite state of comfort, simplicity, joy. It won't happen because it's finite and because in the end it has an end. It comes and it goes. It changes. And we're trying to do every dance we can possibly do to not know that. We do everything we can to hide from the truth. And we claim when we find a teacher who will tell us the truth that, oh, here's the teacher. If I have sex 14 times a day, I'm going to be enlightened. There are teachers who tell you that. And a lot of people like that. There are teachers who tell you, do not ever have sex again as long as you live. Oh, the answer. And that doesn't quite seem to work. And you go on and on. It's a great, great dance. And at some point, if you're being honest with yourself, you're going to say, it hasn't worked. It doesn't work. And that's a really difficult moment. But I also think it's the beginning of your spiritual life. Because then what? What do you do when your practice fails you? Where do you go? Where do you sit? Well, one thing you've probably learned at that point is that there is nowhere to go. You've been there. You've gone to every one of these places. Didn't work. And every time you've had these wonderful moments of extraordinary enlightenment and joy and revelation, it goes away. And where do you come back to when it goes away? Well, you all know the answer to that. And if you don't, I'll tell you. You come back to where you are. Because that's where you are. Interestingly, that's always where you come back to. Exactly where you are. Because that's all there is. You're not going to come back to that. You're not going to come back to the future. You can't come back to the future. Except in movies. You come back to here. This is it, guys. You come back to this. Now what? Now what? Here you are. It's the true beginning. It's the true beginning. Because the entire journey of spiritual life leads to this. Where you are. The Buddhists call it the pathless path because how long does it take to get to where you are? Eckhart Tolle says, how long does it take to get to now? The same idea. Figure it out. The only thing that keeps you from being in the now or being here is the thing that's not here. And if you examine yourself at all, you discover the thing that's not here is your mind. Your mind's not here. Where is it? You tell me. Where is it? You know, you're already eating bagels. You're already 2 hours, you know, ahead of yourself. Are you sitting here daydreaming and thinking about, oh, how great it was in elementary school and how much fun it was? And, you know, I mean, where are you? Actually being here takes a kind of effort until it doesn't take any effort. It takes an effort to stop not being here, to go, whoa, why am I going over there? Why am I going over here? And trying to concentrate, if you will, or to relax, a better version of that, into the present. The mind can't really do it. In fact, the mind can't do it because the mind is the very thing that takes you away from the present. So the only thing that can do it, if you will, is a kind of unnameable, unlocatable something that's sitting there right now. And how do you figure out what that is? How do you get in touch with that? It's a very subtle dance. But every so often you get this stillness inside you, and it feels so peaceful, so present, so relaxed, in a way that has nothing to do with mind or body. It just is, and you just feel it. And when the mind starts up, you lose it. So you start to become aware, conscious of this stillness. And what works in the stillness, which is so powerful, is that it feels, there's a thousand words for this, true, real, full, good, blissful, on and on. Whatever that is, that's the glue, if you will. That's the very real, compelling quality of sitting. Because when you find that stillness and you discover how profoundly deep it is, how rich it is, how essential it is, you have no trouble being there. There's no struggle, there's no desire to be anywhere else. And you simply are right there where you are. And that's where it is. It's not elsewhere. It's not something you will get if you go to this ashram or study with that teacher or if you do good deeds for 50 years. No. It's there right this very second. And yet a lot of us who've studied spiritual practice for years find there are days where we wake up and we can't even find it. That's pretty disturbing. You wake up and you sit down and your mind is going a million miles a minute and you're uncomfortable and you're in a state of fear and panic. You don't know what you're doing and nothing works. You try the double breath. Help me to surrender. Nothing. You try meditating on stillness, and you start to go into the stillness, and suddenly you're everywhere but in stillness. You try mantra, and you're starting to think about everything else in the world except the mantra. Now what? It's not working. You're trying everything. You're a spiritual person. You've done this for 30 years, however long. Here you are, this practiced, spiritual, established entity, and you're like a complete jerk. You have no idea why it's not working. At that moment, often, or at some moment in that struggle, you sort of go, I give up. Or, in Rudy's terms, I surrender. And if you do that from an authentic place and not as a manipulative act, if you just really do that, something happens. And it goes, ah, there you are. You're right back here. You surrender all of that stuff. And you just are. And then what I call the narrative, the story of your life, just kind of falls away. You're not in it. So you're sitting in this state of stillness, and there's no story of you. There's no your birth, your death from the future, your people you loved. Just isn't there. It's just you. And whatever that you is has nothing to do with your story. Or your body, even. Doesn't have to anything to do with anything. It just is. And there's something in you that's aware of it, and you go, Wow. You haven't earned that. You haven't acquired it. You haven't attained it. It's just there. And you go, okay. There does seem to be something that I would call depth associated with this. I don't understand depth. I don't acknowledge, I don't analyze it. But there's something in increased stillness. And as you move toward it, it guides you. And it guides you, and I've said this to you before, with this kind of shh, shh. So it doesn't want your mind in any way to be analytical. It just wants you to stay still. And you start to go deeper and deeper. It's like being in the ocean and just sinking and sinking and sinking. But as you go deeper, it becomes, I'm going to use the wrong word here, but the word more. And the little you that is having a life that's walking around having to get work and not getting work and having all of these worldly demands, it just isn't there in that moment. Does that mean it won't come back? Absolutely not. Because even after going into this unbelievable well of stillness, you find yourself rising back to the surface and back in the world. Bless you. The difference is, if you can stay conscious, you are now walking through the world knowing there's this little tiny piece of you that has a story, and there's this vastness of you that has none. And that little tiny you walks around connected to, one with, this extraordinary expanse, and you walk through your daily life with that. And then for some people, and I've described this before, that little tiny speck of you that's separate from that vastness goes pff. And it's not like you disappear, you're still there, but the thing that separated you from the vastness is gone. You can't do that. It does that. It does that. But until it does that, you can live this life of one with vastness, one with being, one with truth, one with openness. And then if you forget it, as you very likely will, because we're still ego minds, and if you have cultivated a practice, or you've cultivated people around you who can be with you in these moments, you can go to them and say, I need help. I'm lost. I have forgotten. And they will look at you and they will smile and they will go, oh, okay. They give you a little kiss and it's just gone. Or they hug you. Or they just remind you that this is temporary. This is called death and rebirth. Forgetting and forgetting and then remembering and remembering. We go through it all the time. This is a process. And once you understand that, you allow it to happen, you forgive yourself for it, and it just takes place faster and faster, if you will. Rudy used to describe these periods of death and rebirth that had these long-term, they would go for 6 months, then it would go for 6 weeks, and then it would go for 6 days, 6 hours, 6 minutes, 6 seconds, 60th of a second, and then hardly at all. We're all on that sort of learning curve. The thing that keeps us dead for a long time becomes weakened and weakened, and finally we hardly go through that. Thinking you know what works is probably an essential part of this journey. Having someone like me tell you it doesn't work probably won't register until you need to hear that. But when you need to hear it, You will despair that it's not working. You will despair that nothing works until you go, I surrender, I give up. And then you've turned yourself over to this larger reality that knows what it's doing and is very embracing and loving of you and your drama. So until that happens, keep thinking you know what works. Keep trying, because it's essential. Don't stop struggling. Live your life, because it's, you have no choice. I mean, you do think you do have a choice, but the wiser choice is live it. And watch what happens. And the mere fact that you have come here and you have approached this idea of stillness, this idea of sitting, is the very thing which will bring you to everything I'm talking about. And it doesn't matter if you come here, but it matters that that process is in place, and that you have engaged it, and that you have come to the point where you understand that the journey only leads to this, whatever this is for you. It only leads to where you are. There's nowhere else for it to lead. Any questions about this?
Is this a recent experience for you? Is it something that you've experienced over your decades of spiritual practice over and over again?
Mm-hmm. No, I've come to it over and over, but the clarity of it is enormous at this point. I mean, this last 2 weeks for me has been a kind of death, and I've been struggling like mad. And, you know, I've been sitting for 40-some years, and you go, whoa, what's this about? Why do I still go through this stuff? You know, things have been falling away from me in my life, identities. There's this horrible thing called aging, you know, where stuff hurts that never hurt before, and there's no way it's going to stop, probably. You know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on, and you can get uncomfortable, and you're mind goes into these states, and I really despair. And then something happens. Something comes about all the time of reminding me, through an act of grace, if you will, and an act of truly knowing that I don't know what to do, where I'm reminded instantaneously that I'm already there. Happened today. I felt totally ill-prepared to teach this class. Totally ill-prepared. Because you want to know why? Bruce Rubin could never teach this class. If Bruce tried to teach this class, there would be nobody here. Because he doesn't know anything. But when Bruce is put aside narratively, and the sitting down happens, and people arrive for that, there is a synergy that is beyond understanding. And this thing arises that has wisdom and knowledge and insight and clarity and compassion and love, and expresses itself. And Bruce gets to see again and again what that is. And it's not other than me. It's still, you can call it Bruce, but it's no different than what Jackie would call Jackie, or Bo would call Bo. The same exact thing. It's yours, but you don't own it. It arises. The minute you own it, it's no longer there. I mean, if you try to make this into something you want to bottle or market or whatever, it gets hard. Very few people can sustain that. But it's always there. And the fact that it comes back to me regularly, and when I say me, it's a strange dialogue, because yes, it comes back to Bruce, but I'm not going to walk around today going, wow, Bruce is this great thing that has this knowledge, because I am completely aware that I'm not this great thing that has this knowledge, but there is this knowledge that comes through when beckoned and needed. And it's remarkable. And when you go into that space, it doesn't always have words, and it doesn't always express itself as wisdom or knowledge. And it often just comes up as a kind of what we call knowing, or the rudder moving the ship a little bit like that, or a sense that you are somehow in touch with the greater truth that works you. And you feel one thing, grateful, unbelievably grateful, and humble, and sweet. It's like, oh. Next week I'm going to Raleigh-Durham, which I did last year, to give a talk to this convocation of awakened beings. It's a deeply humbling, strange experience for me. Because, I mean, not that everyone there is awakened, but a fair number of these guys are truly people for whom this thing has occurred. The ego separate self has just gone. And they are just vast. They're truly vast. And they keep asking me to come back. This is the second time, but they want me to come back to talk to them. And I go, what in the world do I have to say to these guys? What do I have to say? But I realize I kind of represent the 99.9% of the world that hasn't happened to, who are still sitting there like we all are, reaching, wanting, and learning, basically, that there's nothing we can do. Something they've all learned, these guys have learned, and then have had this awakening. And, you know, the way they put it, and I've said this multiple times, is you can't awaken. The thing that is dreaming you awakens. So there's nothing you exactly can do, but you can live this life of spiritual awareness, even though you haven't had some final, ultimate anything. And is it worthy? I think so. Otherwise, I wouldn't be sitting here. And when I touch it and feel it, it feels like, I think, what they feel. They just don't get caught up in the drama again. Anyone else? By the way, there is class next week, and Blanche will be teaching. And if you guys haven't sat with Blanche, you owe it to yourself to experience that. Not you. I have been with Blanche for 44 years, and trust me, it's worth it. It's also her birthday, and when we go downstairs, I think there's a cake, and we will, if you guys have a few minutes, we'll sing happy birthday, and you're all welcome to cake, and whatever else we have to offer. Okay, thank you.